Our reading this morning comes from Galatians 5, verses 16 to 26. Now that's Galatians 5, starting at 16. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are confident with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, fractions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Can you hear me? You've all got square eyes. What have you been watching? Can't imagine. Been good viewing, hasn't it, actually? I'm not great on pop music, but I did think the pretty pictures on the palettes were quite extraordinary. Now then, I've given this study this morning the title of Keep in Step with the Spirit. It's essential. Not optional, but essential that you're finding your place in the Bible, because otherwise you'll be quite lost. Because I'm not actually following the passage entirely logically. So if you want to know where we're landing, you must have that Bible open. Page number, someone? 1172. Are the Bibles right at the back there or not? There are a few. Please get within range. To sound almost rude, but not quite rude, if you haven't got it open, you can't blame me. Now let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you that by your Spirit you gave your word here through your servant, the Apostle Paul. Thank you for all that you did in him and with him. And we echo that now, that for ourselves, your word will enable us to grow more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're praying in his name. Amen. Keep in step with the Spirit. Now, if you look at verse 26 of Galatians 5, and no, verse 25, you will see that's the phrase there. Let us keep in step with the Spirit. More literally, it is walk by the Spirit. But it's a good title, keep in step with the Spirit. Now, if years ago I had been walking alongside my father, you would sometimes hear him give a little sort of skip. I knew exactly what was happening. He always liked to be in step, you see, with whoever was walking beside him. So if he found you were out of step, he would give that little skip and he'd be in step. On a much larger scale, did you spot anyone out of step in Trooping the Colour? No. I think there were 15,000 involved. Is that right? I didn't even know we had that number in our armed forces today. But they were all in step. Trooping the Colour, by the way, not the Trooping of the Colour. You might as well get it right. That's something you've learned this morning, even if you learn nothing else, but I'm sure we shall together. So the call for Christians is to keep in step with the Spirit. But what does that mean? What does that mean? First, the Spirit glorifies Jesus and not us. So I say, verse 16, live by the Spirit, literally walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. You say, there's no reference to Jesus there. Well, just hang on a moment. Again, where it says live by the Spirit, it's literally walk by the Spirit. And I've never understood why the New International Version, which we're using and which very many people use, so often turns walk into live. Because you capture the flavour more if you follow the original live, walk by the Spirit, in verse 16. But you say, where's any reference to the Lord Jesus Christ? You've given us your heading, the Spirit glorifies Jesus, not us. But he's not mentioned in verse 16. Ah, but think of the ministry of Jesus. And latterly, when you read the later chapters of John's Gospel, you will find that fits in entirely with what the Lord Jesus himself said, that the Spirit was going to come to glorify him. You can look in John 15, verse 26, and other references as well. Now, of course, the Spirit of God was in action amongst God's people before the Lord Jesus came. Even when they came back from 70 years exile in Babylon and had an enormous amount to do rebuilding the temple and so on, the reference in Haggai 2 verse 5 says, work, this is the Lord speaking, for my Spirit is among you. And when David had gone right off course with the affair of Bathsheba, King David, Psalm 51 verse 11, he cries out, Lord, don't take your Spirit from me. So the Spirit was clearly, deeply at work in and amongst God's people, or there wouldn't have been any true believers, whether Abraham himself or those who followed. But now you see, the Spirit has this new ministry, which, if I put it reverently, he couldn't have before the Lord Jesus came amongst us. The Spirit's focus is on Christ himself. So I say, live by the Spirit, walk by the Spirit who has been sent now to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the Spirit who equipped Jesus for his earthly ministry. Luke chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, Jesus comes up out of the water following his baptism, and they see the Spirit of God coming, descending on him like a dove, equipping him for his earthly ministry. And that same Spirit is now the Spirit who is to work in us to glorify Jesus. Why, Jesus again himself, he said, the Spirit lives with you, which I take it as a reference to he himself, because he was filled with the Spirit, but he said, will be in you. So if you and I are committed Christians and own Jesus as Lord, I can tell you, and myself again confidently, that the Spirit of God is somehow in us. And if you find that awe-inspiring, we need to. We need to. The Spirit is here to glorify Jesus. We've had lots of accounts in recent days of people's impressions if they've met the Queen. They seem to be uniformly very good impressions. Have you met the Queen? Go on, admit it. Anyone here met the Queen? Oh, never mind. She's still here. But if you are a believer, the Spirit of the Lord Jesus has met with you and is in you now. So the question at this point is this. Are we ready for Jesus' glory rather than our own? That's the question. Are we ready for Jesus' glory rather than our own? You see, and you know this, we can still be so concerned even when we're Christians, perhaps more or less unconsciously, for the Spirit of God to glorify us. For us to be thought of, perhaps even in the local church setting, as wonderful Christians. Oh, you know so-and-so, he or she, wonderful Christian. But that does not represent what the Holy Spirit wants, because he wants to glorify Jesus. You see, one day, the Lord Jesus Christ will be seen as King of the whole universe. And you've only got to read through the Revelation 5, 6, 7, and you'll see many references to the glory of God shown in Jesus, who's called their Lamb of God. Do you know, it's come home to me recently, that's a wonderful, wonderful thing, that because he sacrificed himself on the cross, the Lamb sacrificed in place of us, like the Passover Lamb, he's still in glory called the Lamb of God. And the whole universe will have to acknowledge the glory of God in the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's got to be happening already in our minds, hearts and lives now. So if we're concerned to be filled with the Spirit and to walk with the Spirit, it means being concerned for Jesus Christ and his glory. And it seems to me that Christians, however well-intentioned, if they separate the Spirit from Jesus in their thinking and practice, they usually get in a bit of a tangle. Right back when I was in full-time ministry, there was something going around called the Toronto Blessing. Any of you remember that? You do. I knew people who were flying off to Toronto to get the blessing. I don't really know what they were thinking of. God is very gracious, and perhaps they met him. He met them in some way there. But I guess Almighty God thought, what a waste of time and money. Because our concern, if we're concerned about the Spirit, is concern about the glory of Jesus. Wherever you see reference to the Spirit in the New Testament, remember it's the Spirit who is now at work to glorify Jesus. Second, the Spirit grows the new nature rather than patching up the old. The Spirit grows the new nature rather than patching up the old. And you can see that all the way, verses 16 to 21. And again in verse 24. And again in verse 26. So run your eye down all those verses. The Spirit grows the new nature rather than patching up the old. When we become Christians, our old nature, though we have been given a new nature by God's Spirit, but our old nature, self-centered, self-seeking, is still there, as you and I must admit. Still there, isn't it? I came across what I thought was a good quote that I'll pass on to you from a book by Lee Samuel, who a generation ago was minister of Above Bar Church in Southampton. Listen. When we are born again, the Holy Spirit imparts to us a new nature. Well, if you're a Christian, you and I know that. As surely as we were born by physical procreation into the human family, so surely are we born by spiritual rebirth into the family of God. Whether or not you know exactly when you became a committed Christian, I'm helped by being able to use as an illustration about my grandfather, one of my grandfathers, who could never remember the date of his birthday, except it was just after Christmas. So I suppose if the family had any sense, they gave him one present instead of two. But that's neither here nor there. But he couldn't remember, but he knew he was born. You may not know when you became a committed Christian, but if you own Jesus as Lord, the Spirit has come into you. As surely as we were born by physical procreation into the human family, so surely are we born by spiritual rebirth into the family of God. But this does not mean the old ties with humanity are all severed and the old nature is eradicated. No. Two captains, each in residence, demand our allegiance. You know that this past week, I guess. Two captains, each in residence, demand our allegiance, and we cannot give our allegiance to each of them. It's good, isn't it? And how true absolutely that is. So let's be clear. Focus on verse 14, just before the passage that was that I read. The entire law is summed up in a single command, love your neighbour as yourself. I think that's the wrong reference I put down there, but never mind, it's a good verse to look at. Note that the lists of the acts of the sinful nature in verses 19 to 21 are an extraordinarily assorted list. Note how what we think of as bigger and smaller sins seem grouped randomly. Note that, please. And that comes across, I guess, even more clearly in a list in Romans chapter 1, verse 29. This is about fallen human nature. Filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. Full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. Oh, no. Listen. They are gossips. Oh. Slanderers, God-haters, insolent. Oh, no. Arrogant and boastful. Never, never. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Do you see how these lists, they go from what we call the big sins to what we might dare to call the little sins? But they're all there. And the Holy Spirit is not concerned to be patching up that very self-centered old nature so that we are, I don't know, a bit less ambitious. But oh, I'm still a bit ambitious. We're a bit less envious. But well, yeah, I'm still a bit envious. So that our changes in that case would be sporadic and piecemeal. Maybe what we call turning over a new leaf, but turning the page back a few days later. It comes down to even giving up chocolate for Lent. If you or I need to give up chocolate, and I have a very sweet tooth, well, give it up now. Don't wait for Lent next year to roll round. My illustration here is HMS Victory. You know, the flagship down in Southampton, and many years ago now we took one of our grandsons to see the Victory, and they were replacing the mast, I think, and various other bits and pieces, and I said to one of the guides there, so looking at these things that were being repaired and replaced, how much of the Victory is original? And he said, well, the odd plank here and there. I think he was exaggerating somewhat. But you see, the Victory, they're doing a constant patch-up job. Do you see? But there are, aren't there, some new-build boats around that follow the basic design of ancient vessels. So there is continuity, but they've got modern facilities, they've got modern safety devices. They're new, but there is continuity. I couldn't easily check this, but you can sort me out on this over coffee afterwards. Isn't there a replica of the Golden Hind in Brixham Harbour? Well, you don't know either, so that's all right. But do you see what I'm saying? You can have a modern boat that has links with the old one, but it's a new boat. When we're Christians, the Holy Spirit doesn't want to patch up the old. He wants to work the new in us. Now, it's going to be a constant battle, but if you look at verse 24, Our stance when we're committed Christians is clear. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. It's still there. The temptations will be there. But we have said a decisive no to that. The Holy Spirit desires to grow the new nature, not patch up the old. And so my third point. I wonder whether you've ever grasped this one. Comes as a bit of a shock to some people. The Holy Spirit produces fruit and not fruits. Fruit and not fruits. Look carefully at verse 22. But the fruits of the Spirit? Oh no. The fruit of the Spirit, singular, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those things together. Do you see? So the fruit of the Spirit, when we really do want to grow as Christians, we can't pick and choose, because it's all one. It's not like walking along the shelves at Tesco and trying to work out which cereal you will buy. Don't buy Cocoa Pops, they're horrid. So you can write those off your list, but you choose your cereal, but you're not free to choose, nor am I, the fruit of the Spirit. It's all one. It's all one. It's singular, but if you look back in verse 19, do you see the word acts? It's plural. You see, Paul isn't suggesting that everyone who isn't a Christian is equally guilty of everything listed in verses 19 to 21. But verses 22 and following are one fruit, because the Spirit is growing inside us. Christ himself. And you can't divide him up. Look at his life, and you'll see these things in perfect measure. So the Christ who by the Spirit is within us, who exemplified these things perfectly, may as it were be saying, as he has taken over what I may call the house of our lives, well, this place needs a complete refit. He's not going to say, I'll major on the dining room and leave the kitchen alone. He wants to work his likeness throughout us. There is one fruit of the Spirit, and it consists of all these things. And the illustration that's often given is a raspberry, because there are lots of little bubicles on it, but it's one fruit. So I looked it up in the dictionary, my concise Oxford dictionary. It spoke as only a dictionary can speak. A raspberry, it says, consists of numerous drupals on a conical receptacle. I mean, how did anyone produce that if they're working on a dictionary and keep a straight face? So, of course, I looked up the word drupal. I expect you all know the word drupal, but I didn't. Do you know it? Oh, someone knows it. That's very clever. And I looked up the word drupal, and it said, drupals, it says something about, what was it now? Drupals, well, what it amounts to is they are the little bumps on a raspberry. That's all I needed to see in the dictionary. A drupal is a little bump on a raspberry. But of course it said something so learned that I couldn't take it in or understand it. And we see it all in Jesus. So the question for each of us this Pentecost Sunday is, do I want to grow like Jesus? That is the question, that is the challenge. And remember that literally verse 16 is walk by the Spirit. I quote a well-known scholar called Leon Morris. I occasionally drop these names in the hope that Perhaps you might be reading something or come across other quotes from them one day. And he talks about this. Walking, he says, was slow and unspectacular, but walking meant progress. Perhaps you've been a Christian 5, 10, 15, 20. Perhaps, like the Queen's reign, you've been a Christian 70 years. And you kept walking. A lot of it's been pretty dull. And like the Queen, perhaps you've had your annus horribilis, but you're still walking. Like walking in the midst of a battlefield, isn't it, sometimes? Unexploded ordnance underneath us, and this and that being fired at us. But we keep walking. Like Jesus, I want to grow like Jesus. He loves me so, I want to grow like Jesus every day. If we focus on Christ Jesus to whom we belong, and that's what we're told in verse 24, those who belong to Christ Jesus, then this will be increasingly true for us. I'm going to finish by reading a little poem that I came across many years ago. I'd be interested afterwards to see if any older folk here have come across it as well. It was written by Dr. Ken Moyner. He was a doctor in missionary doctor in Rwanda and then came back and worked somewhere in central London. I remember meeting him, and he's the sort of man, you see, he sticks in my memory now for humble, approachable, steady godliness. I'd like you to follow this from your Bibles, but you'll have to watch carefully, because in those days when he wrote it, he was following the King James Version. So you have to keep your wits about you so that you get it right. So look at Galatians 5:22 and listen. Joy is love exulting, and peace is love at rest. Patience, love enduring in every trial and test. Gentleness, love yielding to all that is not sin. Goodness, love in action that flow from Christ within. Faith is love's eyes opened, the loving Christ to see. Meekness, love not fighting, but bowed at Calvary. Temperance, love in harness and under Christ's control. For Christ is love in person, and love, Christ in the soul. Amen.